10 years ago, Katrina was one of the most powerful hurricanes ever recorded in the northern Gulf of Mexico. But by the time it skirted past New Orleans to hammer the Mississippi coast, the storm was much weaker. But unfortunately, the defenses protecting New Orleans from the sea were also weaker than necessary. Many of the wetlands that had blunted worse storm surges in the past were gone, and too many pumps and levees broke down thanks to poor design, flawed construction, and lax maintenance. Katrina inundated New Orleans as it passed and left a city and nation in shock. Ivor van Heerden sounded the alarm about the potential for catastrophe back in 2001 when he was a hurricane expert at Louisiana State University. He joins us now for a look at what's changed and what hasn't since. Ivor, welcome back to Living on Earth.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
So, first of all, just remind us of the scale of the devastation in New Orleans and in southern Louisiana as a result of Hurricane Katrina. How bad was it?
Well, over half the 350 miles of levees failed. And as a result, you had, in some places, walls of water 18-foot high sweeping through the homes. The three different bowls of Greater New Orleans were flooded in most cases right up to the eaves of the home. So we're talking about 500,000 people being displaced. And I often point out to folk, just imagine if you were sitting in your den this evening and tomorrow it was gone, your cars were gone, your home was gone, your job was gone, everything was gone. That was the enormity of this catastrophe.
Now, how did engineering failures contribute to the devastation in the region caused by Katrina?
Well, if the levees had held, we wouldn't be talking about Katrina in Louisiana. We'd be talking about Katrina and the devastation on the Mississippi coast, because the storm actually made landfall in Mississippi, not Louisiana. With a storm like Katrina, there might have been a little bit of water overtopping of levees, but certainly the pumps would have been able to deal with it. But the levees, people in New Orleans had been led to believe, would protect them from such a storm, just literally collapsed. And, you know, the earliest term we could come up with was catastrophic structural failure. Because the levees were ill-designed, the wrong science was used, and so on, we ended up with many levee systems 4 to 6 feet too low. Katrina might have been the trigger, but this was a man-made catastrophe.
Now, how did wetlands loss in southern Louisiana impact the flooding in New Orleans and surrounding areas?
We've lost in Louisiana 1 million acres of our coastal wetlands. In many places, there used to be cypress swamps. In others, a rather healthy marsh. Just the presence of the vegetation removes energy from the wind, and you get less surge. And then, of course, the surge, as it moves through and over the vegetation, loses a lot of its elevation due to the friction. If we had healthy wetlands, we wouldn't need as high a levee system and so on. Because of the activities of the Army Corps of Engineers in putting up levees and closing tributaries, we've stopped the overbank flooding and the distribution of freshwater, sediments, and nutrients into the wetlands. We've been starving our wetlands. And then to add insult to injury, we came along and cut them up for the oil and gas industry. The sad reality in some ways is that the land, the coastal land in Louisiana, subsides about 3 feet every 100 years. Now, if you add to that the predictions for sea level rise, you're talking about an effective rise in water of 6 feet over 100 years. So it's a losing situation unless you go in and try and restore the wetlands.
So in your view, what's the most realistic scenario to protect New Orleans and nearby Louisiana from another devastating storm? And what advice do you think the Dutch might have for us? They've been protecting low-lying areas for years from the seas.
Well, the Dutch, they had their Katrina in 1957, and what they recognized was they had to retreat from some of the low-lying areas and then build a line of defense back from the shoreline. In Louisiana, that reality hasn't stepped in, so there's still the hope that everything can be saved. So there's going to have to be some hard decisions in terms of where we abandoned and where do we draw the line. But the bottom line is, if you listen very carefully to the Corps of Engineers, they're no longer talking about flood protection, they're talking about risk reduction.
Tell me about what the Army Corps of Engineers has done. I believe in 2012 they completed rebuilding the existing levee system. What's the maximum type of storm that that system could withstand?
Well, yes, they've done the repairs, and the repairs are robust, and the existing systems were strengthened with concrete pads in front, concrete pads in the back. So they should be able to withstand a certain amount of overtopping. And they've implemented a closure of the big navigation canal, the Mistego Mississippi River Gulf Outlet, which is a project that many of us had called for many years. The concern I have is that the Corps of Engineers is claiming that Katrina is a 1 in 400 year storm, and in reality, the statistic should be that Katrina is a 1 in 30 year storm. And a storm that actually missed New Orleans. And if you go back the last 100 years, there have been 4 or 5 storms that hit New Orleans. And if we had something like Hurricane Betsy, which was a Category 4 in 1965, we still had lots and lots of wetlands. If we had it today, there could well be serious overtopping of the levee system.
Ivor, to what extent does the public perception of the vulnerability of New Orleans today match up to the reality?
It's very interesting. I was at a function in the Lower Ninth Ward this past Saturday, and these questions came up. And it was obvious that to me that most of the people in that room realized the importance of getting out of town the next time a storm comes. And, you know, we discussed that the appropriate behavior is to make sure you got flood insurance on your home, and then pack all your valuables, grandma's jewelry, whatever it is, in plastic boxes. And when the storm comes, get out of town. Have a game plan. And it seemed to me that most of the people present had come up with the same decision. So I think people are a lot more cautious now of what the Army Corps of Engineers is claiming. And hopefully next time this happens, we will see even more people evacuating than did. Of course, you know, the biggest thing is always the disabled and elderly. They're the ones who invariably cannot evacuate.
Back in 2001, you were sounding the alarm about the vulnerability of the New Orleans region to a major storm surge. And then after Katrina, you pointed to many of the flaws of what the Army Corps of Engineers had done, and you wound up getting fired from your job at Louisiana State University. What's happened since then?
You know, I waited a while. I waited almost a year to see if they would reconsider what they had done, and they didn't. So I filed a lawsuit against them in federal court. And then early in 2013, they contacted me at the 11th hour and offered a settlement. And so I felt we had won a major moral victory, and that hopefully LSU wouldn't do that again. But the bottom line was I ended up being divorced from my science, from my students, access to supercomputers, and being damaged goods, I guess I haven't really been able to find a job since. So my wife and I ended up taking early retirement. But I give many, many talks, quite a lot to high school students. And what I point out to them is that when I shave in the morning, I can look that guy in the mirror in the eye and be quite happy with what he did.
Now, Ivor, you lost your job for speaking truth to power, saying what was going on here. Did anyone else lose their jobs for failing to do the adequate job to protect New Orleans?
No, nobody from the Corps of Engineers even got wrapped over the knuckles. And in fact, some of them were given medals. I must point out that the LSU Hurricane Center, which was responsible for so much of the data production and the map production during the response, no longer exists. So not only did they do me a dirty, but they shut down one of the best things that existed at LSU.
So what you're saying is that the state university system has no center devoted to analyzing what might happen if a hurricane comes again.
That's correct.
Ivor van Heerden is a hurricane expert, formerly at Louisiana State University Hurricane Center. Thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you very much.
We asked Louisiana State University for comment on the firing of Professor Van Heerden and the closing of the LSU Hurricane Center. "We have no comment," replied Ernie Ballard, media relations director for LSU. There's more on Katrina and links to our previous coverage of the disaster at our website, loe.org.